Perek Mem Pasuk Tezayin. Okay, so yesterday we just mentioned the name of the gate. The name of the gate is called Ashar. The Shar, the gate called Shar. We have the name of the gate was Ha'isayin, which is an Aramaic word, which means a Shar for coming. I just want to point out, preparing for today for the Chumash, interesting is that Parshas Bikurim is one of the unique halachas where you must say Parshas Bikurim in Lashon Kodesh. V'nisav Yemar. The Rashi says Lashon Kodesh. It's interesting over here. And what do you say? I have arrived. Hinevasi. I have arrived in the Beis Hamikdash. I'm now coming to put down in front of the Mizbeach my Bikurim. That's what he. I have brought. Hevesi comes from the Lashon Bia. I have arrived here in the Beis Hamikdash and I'm presenting the Kohen with a basket of fruit. So isn't that amazing? And the Torah here, from the few mitzvahs in the Torah is Makbid, Hakpad Gemura, it must be said Lashon Kodesh, Hebrew. Other mitzvah, Shema, we the Machalik's in the Gemara, but according to one opinion, Shema, you can say Kriya Shema, the most fundamental mitzvah, you can say it in any language, Shema, any language that you want. Okay, all the mitzvahs in the Torah, b'diavad, k'mat, you can say it, you can recite them in any language. But Bikurim, the Amira must be Lashon Kodesh, and what's the first word? I have arrived. And yet when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash, when indeed you have arrived, you come to the location of entry, it's called the Shar Ha'eson, which is an Aramaic word, which means I have come. The Lashon Bia. Haloi Davar, how could that possibly be? The Amira has to be. Okay, so I told you yesterday, I don't have the answer. We discussed yesterday is that it's a result of Kaddish. We're praying for this moment. Especially the Nusach that you say in the cemetery by Yisim. That's the Nusach is Bi'olma di Osil Ischadita Ulashachlala Hechala Bigava. And to establish the heichol bigava, ulemekar pulchona minara, and to uproot avodah zara. So that's an explicit request for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build the Beis Hamikdash, to build ulashachlala heichala bigava. And in fact, if you study the Kaddish, it could very well be that was the original Kaddish. Our Kaddish that we see all the time is the watered down version. We don't say the full Kaddish. There are a lot of different opinions on this matter. It's not a topic for now, but there are many. But according to one approach, is that the real Kaddish is the Kaddish that you say in the cemetery or by Yisim, and when we daven every single day, so we water it down. We skip a couple of phrases. We do God. But the Kaddish is in Aramaic is to pray for the Beis Hamikdash. So it's interesting is that when you're reciting, you're coming to the Beis Hamikdash. The name of the gate is Bedafka in Aramaic to express the idea. This is the product of our prayers. And contrast that with, again, I don't know the answer to this, but contrast that with Bikurim, this week's parasha, where Hevesi, you've actually arrived to present the gift, and there it's Bedafka, you have to say, I came, B'loshon Kodesh. So maybe the difference is, the Dibur is B'loshon Kodesh, but the Mokoim, the location, there's no Dibur, Shar Ha'ison. It's just the location. You come in through a location that's defined through Aramaic, and then you come into the place of Amira. It's also interesting, okay, just going thinking out loud, is what do we say? It's very bizarre. Arami oived avi. You never ever in a million years expect to say something like this. According to Rish Rashi, who is Arami? Arami is Lavan Harami. What language did Lavan speak? Aramaic, and in fact, some learn this is not so similar. He invented the language. Okay, that's a little bit strange because we have the Midrashim, the Malachim, Ma'aseh Bereishis. Adam spoke Aramaic. Okay, but it's interesting. Lavan Harami, this was his niche, Aramaic. So you're coming to the Beis Hamikdash, and you're making a declaration, which must be said in Lashon Kodesh. And the first thing you mention when you say the Lashon Kodesh is you talk about Aramaic. You talk about the master of not Lashon Kodesh, Arami Oyved Avi. But you must say that, you must mention Aramaic in Hebrew. Arami Oyved Lashon V'nisi Mata Lashon Kodesh. And the gate that you're coming into to make this declaration is also a gate that is defined with an Aramaic term. So what does all this mean? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. It's very interesting is this mix between Aramaic and Lashon Kodesh. Okay, now let's with that. Let's go further. Let's go to Pasuk Tes Zayin Vachalonos Atumos. Now we discuss the windows. The windows over here is, as you see in picture number one on the page number three, you see the windows. The windows. Now, before we even go into the word, just notice that the windows are all the inside. They're extremely narrow, and on the outside, they expands. It expands. It becomes wider. Now, what is the significance of this? So, this is a chazal. This is a chazal teaching you. This really goes back to the bias. Teaching you is that the Beis Hamikdash is the light of the world. It's the light of the world. Meaning, when normally it should be the other way around. If you went to architectural school, you would build windows. It would be just the opposite. Light expands because in the house itself, you have a big opening, and the light that comes in, you just need a small amount of light that spreads. So you have a light bulb, you have a teeny little LED, right? Teeny little bulb that gives off a lot of light. So if you just have a little teeny opening in the wall, and inside the room is the opening is wide, that will cause the light to expand, and that will give off a lot of light in the room. So if you look at these pictures, it's just the opposite. It should be just the opposite. It should be that the Torah, inside the Torah there were wide windows, and the opening on the outside were teeny little openings. And indeed the Gemara makes this comment and says the windows are not the way they're supposed to be. And the Gemara says this was done by design in order to show, to express the idea that the Beis HaMikdash, we're not dealing with ordinary light, we're dealing with spirituality. This is coming to impress upon people is that the spiritual intensity of the Beis HaMikdash spreads, expands to the entire world. The Beis HaMikdash is a mockum of the Or. Hashem was goynez the R, my liberations. It's only because the Rishon should not be nene from the R. You see that R is not just light. R represents, it's symbolic for spirituality. The spirituality, the Mokim Hashuas Hashchin, the Beis HaMikdash, spreads out to the entire world. And that's why by design the windows are made in this fashion to express that idea.
Okay, but for the most of the Beis HaMikdash, since it does not have a covered roof, it doesn't need more than natural light.
Okay, but these Ta'im...
In other words, this is only in the Ta'im.
Correct. Okay, in the Ta'im. Now the Elimos, he makes those windows there as well. What's the purpose of those windows in the Elimos? I don't know. Could be in Wilson, it's the wrong way, right? In the Elimos, it's not so. It's going to the outside, right? That's the inside.
Storage,
we don't really know. Yes. It doesn't say.
The Gemara is
really
talking about the windows from Kachin, no?
What?
The Gemara is talking about the windows from Kachin.
All right, the Gemara, right, that's correct. The windows, that's a point we made when we first started this discussion. The Toyim, there are 18 Toyim. Where are they? I mean, so that we're learning about, they're on the perimeter of the wall of the Ezras Noshim, In the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon, the only place you had the Tohim were around the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Heichel. You have the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKodashim, and around them were Tohim. In fact, there were three stories, three different layers.
They called them Lishkas, no?
No, they were called Tohim. They're called Tohim. Lishkas, there are other chambers in the basement, underneath. They were under the steps, all over there were Lishkas. There were Lishkas on the sides and around. Yeah, we have to learn Sechta Midah, Sechta Yoyim, to go through all the different parts. But the chambers that surrounded the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were called Ta'im. That's it. There were no other Ta'im other than what's around the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Bayis Shlishi, we have a new idea that Ta'im are not only on the inside, the Ta'im are on the outside. Like, it's almost as if like it's inside out. And that we discussed this, is that it brings out the idea that in the time of the Bayis Shlishi, The Kedusha is not just local, contained for Klal Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is the makom for the whole world. The only place you have the Toyim, these ideas, the windows, pardon, these windows that go out, until now in the Bayis Sheni were around the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. But even the windows that gave out light in this fashion were still enclosed in the wall of the Azara. So how far is this spiritual light really going? If this idea is correct, that the Kedusha is intensified in the Kodesh, HaKadoshim, then we have these little chambers that surround it on the outside, and the windows open in the opposite direction to indicate that the Kedusha is spreading out into the world, even though it's spreading out into the world, but very shortly, there's the massive wall of the Azara, which contains this Kedusha. So indeed, in the time of the Bayis Rish, the time of the Bayis Shein, the world did not yet achieve its perfection, did not achieve its Shleimus. So indeed, the Kedusha was limited, was contained within the walls of the Azara. But now we're at the Bayis Shlishi, and now we're basically taking those Tohim that until now were only around the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we're putting them outside the walls of the Azara with the same windows to show that now it's a whole new world. Now the Kedusha is not just local to the inside, to Klal Yisrael, it's spreading much, much further to the entire world. Yeah?
I'm curious. Work went on 24-7, right?
What do you mean work?
I mean, even at night, they were coming in on duty, things were happening.
Not only 24-6. Mikdashi Tirohu, the work of the Beis HaMikdash does not override Shabbos.
Okay.
24-6. Kabbalas, okay. For the Kabbalas, okay. Kabbalas, you're right. 24/7, okay.
Activity at all times, including at night.
Okay.
What was the? Where was the light sources to work?
Menorahs. That's exactly. You know, they actually say that the Arch of Titus. Okay, the menorah. So what menorah was that? So everyone wants to say, oh, that's the menorah that they lit every the avodah. Many experts say no. There were a lot of it was like an LED light, chandeliers. Wherever you turn in the Beis Hamikdash, like over here in Dishul, how many light fixtures are there?
No.
Hundreds.
What? There's an enclosure, a rooftop.
Yeah. So the in the Heichel, I mean, well in the Heichel, right?
All over the place.
But they had Tom in the chambers, I guess, in the chambers, and they had at night in the Azara. We don't know exactly. But in the Lishkas Agazis, in the Lishkas Beis HaMoikeid, all of the Lishkas, all of the chambers, there were many chambers all over the place. Basement, side, up and down, wherever you turn, there was another chamber. And maybe even at night in the Azara itself. In the Azara itself, you know, Kohanim allowed to eat kachim for a day and a night. They have to eat in the dark.
So, it never occurred to me to ask this before.
And also, they have picnic tables. There's one thing they don't show in any model that I've ever seen is that in the Azara they don't show picnic tables. What did the Kohanim do the whole day? They ate. The Achlu Oisam Asher Kupar Bohem. The Kohanim, when they eat, that is what brings atonement to the people who offer the Kurbanos. Kodshei Kadoshim must be eaten inside the Azara. Did they stand when they ate, or did they sit? So you'll tell me, Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara El Malchei Be'Stav
Bilvad.
On the other hand, it says L'moshcha. It says in the Pasuk L'moshcha, Ligidula, which Chazal learned that you have to sit. So it's a Machlekes Rishon. There's a whole other discussion. But the Pashtus is, there were picnic tables all along the Azara, inside the Azara, back and forth, front and back, picnic tables.
Get your name on it.
Donated. Okay, so where are the picnic tables in the illustrations and in the models? Someone forgot.
They weren't fixed.
It wasn't part of the structure, right? But L'chayre, they had to be there as well. So they were picnic tables. L'chayre, they also had canopies.
Let's say it was all day. That's all they did.
Well, not there were many kohanim. I mean, a kohen only worked 2 days a year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. 2 days. Like Shabbos, then maybe a little bit different. So during that one day that he worked, so he ate. He went the whole day, but he did the korbanos, they had daven. So I mean, it's no different than other people. One twice a year, not so bad. Twice a year to have a lavish suda, it's not so bad.
Why do you say that they ate in the Azara? Maybe they ate in one.
No, because kodshei kodashim must be eaten only in the Azara. Kodshei kalim can be in the whole Yerushalayim. But a carbon chatos and a carbon asham only can be eaten in the Azara.
And lishkas would not.
No. The lishkas are outside. The Beis HaMikdash was half and half. So the Beis HaMikdash was half and half. But no, the Pashas is they ate it in the Azara. That's the place where they have to eat it.
You know, in the picture they have Lishkas, cooking chambers.
That's all part of the Azara. They could be eating there, but you're getting in the way of the cook, getting in the way of the people who are doing the Avodah. And that area, they were cooking it, or they were cleaning it, or they were preparing it. You don't eat in the kitchen. You go outside and you eat. You go outside and you eat in the hall. I once went to a dinner. I went many, many years ago to the National Council in Israel. They had their convention. I was a rabbinic student in training, so everyone who was part of them have to come to the convention. And the convention was very impressive. It was years ago. They said, don't they have it anymore? The convention's long gone. What?
Anything.
Yeah. But years ago, they had a very beautiful...
The RCA, they didn't have conventions. They only had
their convention.
They had a conference. Okay, this was many, many years. We had a conference, and who attended the conference? Only Rabbanim. They invited all the young Israel Rabbanim of the whole country. They all came in, and they told everyone. The big problem was a big hall that the Rabbanim kept on going into the kitchen. When you go to a wedding, do you go into the kitchen?
You're talking about only a conference of young Israel Rabbanim?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a different story. Okay.
They still do that?
That I don't know. I don't know if they do anything now. But
okay, so years ago they had this, there must have been there maybe even 200 rabbis. Not only young Israel rabbis, they had other rabbis, from people who wanted to learn. They had very, 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 it was very good, very intense. When you go to a wedding or bar mitzvah, do you go into the kitchen?
Always.
Because you're a rabbi. You see, the average person who comes as a guest to a wedding, you walk into the kitchen? No. You don't even know where the kitchen is. You mind your own business. You sit down.
It's better not to see what they do.
Okay, in a chanami, but you don't go. You don't do the kitchen. Here at the convention, there are 200 guests, and all of the guests they're sitting in a big, beautiful ballroom, like any other wedding or bar mitzvah, and all the rabbanim every 5 minutes they start strolling into the kitchen. They start strolling into the kitchen. They had actually make an announcement. We ask all the rabbanim not to go into the kitchen. Why? Because rabbanim, that's what they do. They go, they have the mashkich, and they go to their shul dinner, they go to their event, they especially out of town, outside of New York, and you know, you got to make sure everything is kosher. And you have mashkich, and you got to talk to the mashkich, you got to talk to the caterer, you know, it's not so civil. So rabbanim, they're naturally trained, they gravitate to the kitchen. So here, when they come to New York to a convention just for rabbanim, you have 200 rabbanim, instead of sitting in the ballroom, they're walking into the kitchen. So they had to make the announcement. So the place of the kitchen is not for the people to eat. The Kohanim are supposed to be eating in the Azara, not in this area. Okay, so let's now go back to... let's go back to Bas Bachaloimes. We have over here windows. Atumos. The word Atumos just basically means is that it was narrow on the inside and wide on the outside. That's the meaning. It's a complex word, and that's what it means. El Hatoim. El Hatoim means they connected. They were of the form of widening on one side. El means they were connected to the Ta'im. Where were they located? So we have another very, very unique word.
Is that what it means? I would assume Atumos El Hatoim means they got narrow as they went into the...
Okay, maybe you're right. I think when they got... Ta'im means narrow. Okay, they got narrow El Hatoim as they got into the thickness of the wall.
Or narrowing.
Narrowing towards the inside.
Because narrow would mean it would be...
Narrowing, but it's narrowing.
They're getting smaller and smaller. Okay, and then the El Elei Hema, the El Elei Hema. That's a hard word. That means the sides, Lipnima, on the flanked. The word Elei, it's like Ayol, but the letters are reversed. Aleph. Remember we had the word Ayol Aleph Yud Lamed yesterday. It means a post Ayol.
El.
Or El, or Aleph, El Yod. So here is the same word, but the Yud is not there for whatever reason. It means posts, which means it flanked. The windows flanked the door. The El Elei Hema Lipnima Lashar, to the gate. Okay, we have to really translate those words more precisely. We'll see in a few moments in the Mitzvahs and Rashi. Saviv, and all sides. V'chein Lo'e Lamos. And the same was true for the... I don't even know what that means for the other posts. Okay, let's leave for one moment. Vachaloinois saviv lipnima v'el el timarim, and also there were more windows by the el timarim by these massive columns which had upon them.
So in other words, there were windows for the Tefillin, and there were other windows for the posts.
Right in the back. You have to look in the picture on the back. Picture number two. You see picture number two? You see there v'chein. That's how he translated v'chaloinoy saviv saviv lepnima. So the toyim have windows in the front, going out into the harabayis, and also there are windows going in to the ezras noshim.
I think number one is a little clearer.
Right. Number one is right. Number one. Right. Correct. Number one is very clear. It shows you v'chein loyelim. They show you four different types of windows going into the center. That's called the El Elo Hema, Lipnima Lashar. And then when it says in the Pasik, Lashar Savchain Lo E Lamois, that is in the Shar, in the Ulam Hashar, that's on the top. Picture number one, you see on the top there in that top section, which we translate that to mean the Ulam Hashar. And then when it says v'chaloinoy saviv saviv lepnima, that's on the inside. And you see on that they show you better in picture number two. Picture number two, it makes it clearer. It shows you on the wall itself. It says the words v'chaloinoy saviv saviv lepnima. And then when it says v'el timoirim, that is a new idea. That's going to be, according to Rashi, a whole new concept. It's teaching for the very, very first time that on top of the post, in picture number three, were these, what looks like a palm tree. But now, that was not a real palm tree. That didn't grow. That was some design made of stone in the image, or maybe it was made from wood. It's not clear what it was made from in the
maybe
image.
Gold.
What?
Maybe gold.
Maybe enochanai, maybe gold. Whatever material it was made from, it was made in the image of a palm tree. That's an entirely new statement. So this is possible. Without the illustration, you couldn't even go anywhere. They really show you exactly what these expressions refer to, which part of the wall.
Why is the wall facing the outside from the Torah so thick? I mean, why do you have to have a 5-6-armor wall?
Why? I don't know. That's I don't know. That's how they made it. Why is the wall so thick?
It looks like the wall is bigger than the chamber.
The chamber is only 6x6. The wall in the back is 6.
I thought you understand.
The wall in the back is 10. It's 10.
Right.
Right, it was 10, the wall in the back.
Yeah.
And in the front, we didn't know. We suggested it was 5. It was 5 in the front. So why was it like that? I don't know. That's how it is. All of these things are very mysterious.
Yeah.
It's very mysterious why it was like this. What's the purpose of these chambers altogether? Storage. Okay, in a Hanami, storage is a very big thing. People know, but one of the big flaws in architecture is they build these beautiful, you build a beautiful house, a beautiful build structure, and there's not enough storage.
A question like Nicole asked, what about bathrooms?
Oh, very good question. That's right, where are the bathrooms? That's right, where are the bathrooms? Absolutely. You ever go to the Kaisal HaMaravi? Well, they built it, how many bathrooms are there? They built it new, they fixed it up. It's amazing what they did there. There must be at least 100.
They built the Chaim Berlin Elementary School, they forgot closets.
Yeah, right.
Whoever designed it, they forgot all that storage for coats, the students' coats.
And where to put these things? It's very, very true.
Very small room. They had
everything in life is always a reaction to what you were lacking before. So like, what you were not lacking before, so you don't think about it. When you lack, like in the Chaim Berlin Big Beis Medrash, in the old building, I don't know if you remember the old Beis Medrash. I was very, very little one day, but I was just there at the very tail end. If you had to go to the bathroom, you went home. I'm not joking. It was that bad. It was a teeny little bathroom, and you really had to go home to go to the bathroom because there was no bathroom. So this was a very big problem. So when they built the new building, they went overboard. You go to an extreme. And did they build a bathroom like you never saw? Okay, coat rooms. Another major problem the old Chaim Berlin was there was nowhere to hang up your coat.
Very small.
There was nothing. What was it? They built a makeshift thing in the basement. It was a joke. There was nowhere to hang up your coat. So you go overboard. When you build a new building, boy, do you have code rooms.
In Eretz Yisrael and B'nai Brak, they have a special room just to hang the hats.
Just to hang the hats. Everything in life is a reaction to what you're lacking. To what you're lacking. I know that Rabbi Kahn, he told me himself, Rabbi Kahn over here in the shul, he told me that one of his students was the architecture for his building. And he said it's amazing the amount of things they were able to squeeze into the building, and for the space they had is remarkable. They squeezed right. They put a lot of time, but the only thing was there was a trade off. There's just no storage. He said to me, "Verish, we have a very big problem here. We don't have any. The amount of storage space is pathetic. There's just nowhere to put anything to store things." I look Chaim Berlin. They also had a problem with this. They still have a problem. They store a lot of things. They store off-site. Trucks. All the stuff they use for Purim, they don't store. They have for Purim. They have a whole benches and different things for Purim. They ship it out. A truck comes, takes it away, and brings it back. It's a big expense. Twice a year, once a year. And then when they built, they renovated. They have now a massive, the whole basement of the whole new section of the building is just pure storage. Because every building needs storage. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they also needed a lot of storage. These Tahim L'Choira serve as storage place. But you're right, they're very, very small. What's the purpose? Teeny little things over here, teeny little rooms, the walls are so thick. Okay, this is all a matter of architecture. It's a very interesting thing. Storage, there's probably a ratio. Yeah?
Yeah. In diagram number two, we can see two windows pictured in the interior.
A stira. There's a stira between number two and number one.
Yes.
Very good. You're right. I don't know the answer. In number one, there's only one window. Over here, number two, there are two windows.
No, it's from the different times.
No. V'chein lo e limois.
Right. The interior. Each one of the toys had a window into the
No,
interior.
Look at the part that says V'chein lo elemos.
The lemos is on the other side. It's on the question. Wall.
On the wall. So on the bottom, how many windows are there?
They show two.
Two. And on top, how many windows are there?
On top of here.
On top, picture number one.
Oh, right.
Okay. Only one. So Michal is a steer, like a Rambam. Steer in the Rambam. One picture has only one window, has two windows.
No, okay. Picture two has two.
Okay, sir, Michal, you really got him.
This is also, you don't know where it is here.
That's the top.
No, it's...
Here, take it.
It's
like
a bird's eye view.
It was a fake window. It was a fake window.
All right, so you really good. You got it. You got him. Michal, you're on the mark. You're on the mark. Let's see over here the Mitzvus and Rashi. Pasik Tezayin. Tezayin, the Mitzvus of Chalonis are two mice. Bahatoyim, Hayu Chalonis, Sisumais. Okay, the windows were sasum. The word otum means, okay, Rabbi Sai, the word otum means closed, return to Laimar. Lohoyu Pesuchais Mibli Stima Klau. They were not open. Mibli Stima Klau. Lohoyu Sisumais Bimachitza Bihira Vizaka Lavoy Ha'oira Derech Sham. Okay, it says here.
They put in glass.
There was no glass.
They didn't put in anything. It says sesumois b'mechitza bihira. It means glass.
Right. They put it in glass.
They put a mechitza bihira. I never saw this before. I never paid attention to this. Over here, bihira. We learn mesachta midas. You always get the impression it's totally open. There's no glass. So the word atumos means it was closed. It was Anderson windows or Tele window, whatever you have. They were.
When was glass invented?
I don't know. I don't know.
But it also is not
in glass.
I don't know.
It's not necessarily that they were narrow.
He doesn't say that, right? So so obviously, see, this is what you appreciate when you're selling all the mafarshes. This picture over here, we're going to see Rashi. According to Rashi, it means it was wide on one end and narrow on the other end. Obviously, the Mitzudos disagrees. He holds the windows were consistently wide or narrow from end to end. So what then does it mean, atumois? It means there are windows, but there's something in the window to prevent someone from going in. There is a barrier in the window. Glass or the likeness, I don't know, maybe they had some other material.
They
did have glass 3,000 years ago.
They had glass.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
think the Mishnah talks about glass.
Yeah. Okay.
Not white glass.
Okay, whatever they had. So it's interesting that the Mitzudos has a different interpretation of these words. One more time, those words, I never paid attention to this. That's clear. That's transparent. Unbelievable. Nothing like what I've been brainwashed, at least the word atumos means wide on one end and narrow on the other end. It means a regular window with something covering it. That's what the Mitzudos learns of shot in the word atumos. Now the El A Le He Ma Hachaloines Sohem Hoyu Bimizuzos Secha Hapoinois Lipnim Lashar. So where were these Mizuzos? So he says that the word A Le He Ma means a post. If you look at the Mitzudos Tzion, it means it's a fancy word for a post. We had a Saf and a Mezuz. Now we have a third word for a post. So even the word El means a post. Here it's also the same exact word. We learned in the previous post that the entranceways were opposite one another. Uponui El, and it was open El Chalal Hashar Hitzayin, Shahaya Michof Hei Amma. It was 25 Amas across. That was what we learned yesterday. Along the flank, the openings, there were windows. He suggests that the other chambers did not necessarily have windows. Okay, this is his suggestion. It's not clear. Because lo haya sham roiv oiro, what does that mean exactly? I don't know what that means. Saviv, it's in the Leimar, kein haya letoy hakit sainim shall call shar v'shar, the outer chambers of every gate, which means we have the north, the south, and then we're going to have the chambers that surround the Ezras Yisrael on the inside, the big square that's on the inside of this massive structure. All of the gates, he seems to be saying, is just the two outer chambers had these windows which flanked the Pesach. Okay, the next words of the Mitzudos are V'chein lo e lamos gam l'chol ha'alumos hayu hachlonos atumos. All of the posts had these windows v'chalonos od hayu chalonos v'chol hato'im asher misaviv v'heim yifnu l'pnim l'chalal asher vashim. He kaisel ezras nashim hayu lohayu lohayu kaisel me'achareim u'kaisel ahi lohayu chalonos ki azaras lohayu mikoros. The azara did not have a ceiling. Lohayu ha'or rabohem. There was a lot of light. So he seems to be saying the purpose of the windows is to bring light in. I just told you the opposite, right? I told you the opposite. The purpose of the windows was to take the spirituality in these chambers and spread the light outwards. He's not saying that. He's not going for all this. He's saying very simple. The reason why they're winning was because there's light outside. When there's light outside, we want to take the light from outside and bring that light inside. So being that the Azara had no ceiling, it was open, there's a lot of light in the Azara, so we want to take advantage of that light and bring the light into the chambers. So there's a window on every place where there's lots of light, you have windows. I think now we understand what he means in picture number one. Picture number one, you don't have a window going from one tar to the next tar. Because there's no light there. There's no need to have a window going from one chamber to the next chamber, because the only reason why you have a window is to bring light in. In the other chamber, it doesn't have its own light, so there's no need to bring light within. Okay, next.
There's another problem here.
Yeah.
The window that faced the Azara, the wall was 10 tefachim. It was the Amma, right?
10 Amma.
The window that faced
was 50.
The tar, one wall facing outside was 5.
No, the height was 50. The height. The thickness was 5. Yes.
And the other side.
10.
Was 10.
10. Correct.
So light coming through 10 is much
smaller. Less. Correct. Correct. So you need more lights. Okay. The nail l'shachayis. Okay, the next words of the Mitzudos are now the Mitzudos is explaining us the end of the pasuk is teaching us. Okay, the end of the pasuk is teaching us entirely new concepts. Teaching us that on top of the columns, there was the image of a palm tree, the LL. Okay, b'chol mizuzah haya kaiseres. There was a crown. Mimal, Bitsuras Ilone Tamar. On top of the columns, there was a crown in the image of a palm tree. So this end of the pasuk, it's bizarre, has almost nothing to do with the windows. You know, we wouldn't do this. If you're writing a pasuk, you focus on the windows, focus on the doors. You focus, you have a different contractor. I have one contractor that does the doors. One contractor does the windows. One contractor is going to do the moldings. One is going to do, everyone has their job. The pasuk, this is one of the very big difficulties of the pasukim, is that the pasuk keeps on putting together things that seemingly to us have nothing to do with one another. I mean, it's all part of the Beis HaMikdash. End of the pasuk, it's chapsarayin, a new idea. V'yal ayil, and you should know, by the way, behind, in the back entrance, when you come from the inside, these two massive columns that we describe have a height of 60. On the very, very top, we have a design of a tamar, of a palm tree. The El Ayil, there is Timoirim. Now let's see Rashi. Now we go Rashi and go to the picture in much more detail. Obviously, Rashi is not going to be like the Mitzudos. Rashi is his own derech.
The third Torah.
Does that
have a window going out?
L'chor, yeah, because according to the Mitzudos, there's light outside, so you want to bring the light from outside inside.
You would expect it to be so.
I would assume yes. In this picture.
So there would be windows on three sides of the third Torah?
It doesn't say. Obviously, it on the very out.
Why
yeah.
Wouldn't it look like the first one, except in reverse?
I don't know. On this picture, it doesn't really show.
The first one has
in the art scroll, let me see what they do in the art scroll. In the art scroll, they show windows on. No, they don't. In the art scroll version, they do not show windows. They do not show windows on the outside. Okay, so interesting point. There is no window there. Now let's go to Rashi. Okay, we got to go through Rashi. V'chaloinos atumos el hatoim. And what does this mean? There are windows. Hatoim ha'ele lo ha'yulchem pesachim el hachutz. These chambers, especially chamber number 2 and 3, there are a total of 6 chambers. So the chamber number 1, we learned in the previous pasuk, there was a pesach going into the center. But chamber number 2 and chamber number 3, there's no door. There's no way to get out. It's a jail. You're locked in. The only way you can get in and out is through the first chamber, mm-hmm. Railroad apartments. Lo hayu lohem psachim elachutz, ela ze pasuach leze. Each one opens into the other, like you see in the picture. V'chein matzin b'mesach midos batoim shebesivos ha-heichol. Here he draws the analogy to the Bayis Rish and Bayis Sheni. We're around the Heichol and the Kodesh HaKodashim. We're a whole series of chambers, one leading into the other, and there was no entrance. You could not get into these chambers from the outside. The only way you get in is from, there's only one entrance somewhere. Shloisha batoim hashabesivos ha-heichol, shloisha pesachim l'chol echad v'yachad. Lata min hayamin, there were 3 entrances. So it says there were 3 entrances. L'chol echad v'yechad el echad. One lata min hayamin, v'yech lata min hasmal, v'yech lata shal gabav. V'lataim shebechatzer lo hayu ela shloisha toim ze etzel ze. V'lo hayu lochem toim al gabehem. So he's just putting it over here. In the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, they were stacked. Right. It was 3 stories, one on top of the other. And in total, there were only 3 entrances, wherever they were. Okay, let's not go into too many details. Wherever they were, there were only a few entrances. But there were a lot of chambers. I think there were 35. I don't remember the number. I think there are 35 chambers in total. And to get from one to the other, you go from one into the other. But each one did not have an independent Pesach. Here, outside the courtyard, there are only 6. And it's only 1 story. It's not 3 stories. The 2 middle ones that were flanked the entrance, they had 2 psachim, like in the picture, one on the right, one on the left, the two toim which were showing. And to the outer one that opened up into the gate, echad pasuch lem tzoi v'yechol letzad hashar.
One facing into the other one.
Echad pasuch le'em tzoi. Okay, there are 2 entrances. One goes to the street,
and the
and one goes to the inner Ta, and the railroad apartment goes to the next one. One goes into the middle Ta, there are three Ta'im, and one goes out to the gate. And also the same exact configuration is to the Ta on the other side. The other Kosei means the other side, across the gate, across the side. Mizeh u'mizeh lashar. Pesach neged Pesach. Okay, so he's just reviewing the openings. Right. Openings. The only one that opened out into the area was the two extremes. There are six ta'im, and the two extremes had openings going into the middle, and each of these had another opening going into the next ta, and then from the next ta into the next ta. Fine. Now we come to the windows. The topic of our pasuk, it has now windows. They're called shikufim atumim, and that's not what it says in our pasuk. Our pasuk leaves out the word shikufim. It only says the word atumos. He's quoting from Sefer Melachim in the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon, there were chambers surrounding the Heichel Nekodesh HaKadoshim, and those windows are called with the term shikufim atumim. What does that mean? It means pesuchim letzad hachitzon. There it means shakuf, means open. It's open on one side and it's closed on the other side. Usisumim letzad penim. How could it be closed? That's not a window. A window, by definition, is open. It means relatively speaking, that on the outer side it's open a lot. It's very, very wide. And on the inner side, it's relatively speaking closed. Not totally closed, but it's much more narrow. Ustumim letzad panim, kolaymar kitsarim letzad panim, uruchavim letzad achutz el hamizrach. And it's wide on the outside. This is going to describing the bayis rishon. Mizrach means going towards the entranceway. Those are the windows over there. So umenachim. Okay, so it's fine. So therefore, let's stop at this moment. What has Rashi done? Rashi over here is coming to disagree with the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos says the windows were just ordinary windows, consistent in width. And when it says, this is only one word, atumos, it means there was glass covering the window. Rashi is saying, even though here it says the word atumos, it's as if it says the same thing as it says in Sefer Melachim, shikufos atumos, shikufos atumim. This one word, atumos, is obviously related to the word atumim, same sheresh, it's not the same word, and it's as if it says here the word shikufim, which basically means that the configuration, the way the windows were made over here, is exactly the way they were made in the Bayis Rishon. It was wide on one side and narrow on the other side.
For what purpose was that? To get the light in?
No, so normally, so that we discussed this in the very beginning, normally the purpose is to get the light in. Normally, when you have an area where there's a lot of light, it's really the other way around. It's narrow where the source of light is, and it's wide where it's dark, so that the place where the light is will spread and make the place light. So here it's the other way around. Why is it the other way around? Because that's how it was the other way around. The Gemara says in the Beis Hamikdash and the Bayis Rishon, by the chambers that surrounded the Heichel, to indicate that the light is not physical light, it's spiritual light. And the spiritual light.
No need for glass.
No, that's the Mitsudos. We're confusing two different commentators. The Mitsudos does not go for this whole drasha of spirituality. He talks this practical light. Turn on the lights. It's dark in here. A regular window with regular glass, according to the Mitsudos. Rashi is quoting from the Gemara. And he's talking about the Bayis Rishon. And the Bayis Rishon, the windows, the reason why there were windows was not for light. How was the light inside? A miracle. Lamala miderach ateva, supernatural light. The menorah, the menorah was only in the Heichel, not in these chambers. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. We really do not know how it stayed illuminated inside the Heichel, all the different chambers. Whatever it was, supernatural light. The windows are not for light. The windows are to show that the spiritual nature, the spiritual shechinah that's resting in the Beis HaMikdash is spreading out into the world. So inside the Kodesh, the Heichal, in these chambers, there is spirituality, and the windows are configured in a way to show that the light inside is going out into the world. I don't know, but even though they were for storage, but still the spiritual light is going out. Yeah, what were you saying?
They were narrow in the time, so the time were the source of the spiritual light.
Correct.
So into the Ezra's notion, you got spiritual light from the top.
It should be just the
opposite. I don't know the answer. You're right. I don't know the answer. You're right. I don't know. One thing, going out into the Harabayis, yeah.
Makes sense.
Going out into the side, yeah. But going from the Ezra's notion into the Torah, I don't know. You're right. I don't know the answer.
By the Azara inside,
right?
It makes sense. But over here,
no. What's going on? You're right. There are a lot.
That's why Mitzvahs doesn't like Rashi.
Yeah. And also the Mitzvahs is correct because it doesn't say the same words. The only time you can say this perish is that it's wide on one end and narrow on the other end is where it says Shikufim Atumin. That term is unique to the Bayis Rishayim. That term is not what it says here. Here it says Atumois. They were sealed. Glass. If a window, you put glass in the window. Rashi is doing fancy footwork. It says here Atumos. Make believe it says Shikufim Atumin. But it doesn't say that.
It would make more sense if it's for the purposes light to have it even the same size.
Well, right. In ancient times, it seems that we have very, very thick walls. We don't appreciate this because we have different technology, different world today. But they have very, very thick walls. It was a technique that it's narrow on one end, wide on the other end, and that caused light to spread. But then it should be the other way around. It should be narrow on the outside and wide on the inside. And the Beis HaMikdash was the opposite, to show that the light is not physical light, it is spiritual light. Here, Rashi is coming to disagree with the Mitzudos, and it says, as if it says, Shukuf Matumim. Now, then he quotes Menachem, Rashi, U'Menachem Pasar. Now again, he's discussing not here, he's not discussing, say, Yechesu, he's discussing back the Vayish Melochim. Shikufim Loshen Hashkofa. It means the sixth parasha, Hashkifa Mimo'in Kachacha Min Hashemayim, to look down, to gaze, to
overview.
Kemo Mizos Hanishkafa, who is looking? Or Ki Hishkif Mimroim Kachacha Hashem looks down. V'chein El, so therefore, what? V'chein El Hamashkoif, another pasuk.
It's the lintel.
The lintel. So why is it called the lintel? Because the mashkoif is the part which looks down, it's above you. Something which is on top of you, if it had eyes, it probably has a camera built in there. is looking down. It's looking down upon you. That the mashkoif is looking down upon you. So therefore, what is it? The gam kein pasal l'shoin hashkofa. So that's how he translates there in Sefer Melachim. There it says shikufim atumim. I don't know what he means. It means it was a in the bayis rishoin, the windows were looking down upon you.
He translates the term from Malachim as both open and shut.
No, that's the first interpretation. That's what Rashi in the beginning said. Rashi started off by telling us his interpretation, Shikufim means open. Atumim means shut. Therefore, shut does not mean shut. It's relative to open. Open means wide. Right. Shut means narrow. Like the picture we have in front of us. One on one end.
To look down.
So maybe what it means is the windows were high up. High up, the word hashkafa means at a height. At a height that you look down. So seemingly according to Menachem, what it means in Sefer Melachim is that the windows were not at eye level. The windows were above you. If you have a structure, it's 6 feet, right? How tall? These are very large structures. Where are the windows? Are the windows where you can look at? Or are the windows all the way up there, high up, where you can't even reach? You need a stick. To open up the window.
The tall wasn't that big.
The height of the wall is 50 amos. So how high was the ceiling in the tall?
The tall was much lower.
Well, obviously it was ground level, the tall.
I don't know, but it didn't.
But what was the height of the ceiling of the tall?
Wasn't that high?
Was there a skylight?
Look at the picture. Actually, it wasn't. It was
close. The toe was not 50 amos, right? The toe was not. It was low. Okay, but even if the toe is low, let's assume it was at least 6 feet, let's say it was 12 feet. So we are in the toe with the windows. Go into here. The windows are eye level. Right. I can open the windows. You go to a big place, they put the windows are very, very high up. You can't open the windows. You need a stick to open the windows. You need a ladder to open the windows. So according to Menachem is telling us that when it says in Sefer Melachim that the windows, the Chalon Tor, atumim shikufim, it means, shikufois atumos, it means the windows were high up. High up, loshon hashkifa mimo'oin. And then atumim, luchor is like the mitzudos, and they were closed. There was glass. They were glass. They were high up, and they were closed with glass. Not like Rashi, who learns that the dimensions of the width changed from wide to narrow. Now, all of that is very, very nice in Sefer Melachim. But it appears that Rashi is taking what it says in Sefer Melachim and is transporting that into Sefer Yechezkel. And even though it only says one word, which is not even the same word, atumos, it's as if it says shikufois. Atumais, and you can apply both translations. The one who made the illustration is applying Rashi's first translation, where it's wide on one side and narrow on the other side. Closed is relative to sealed, meaning that it gets narrow on one side.
How did the nevuah work? It's very interesting. Did the Navi see an image and he used his words to express the image, or did he see the words came to him?
That's a general question you can ask for all prophecy.
So
it says in Chazal that every Navi was on a different, Rambam talks about this, every Navi was on a different level. They had a different form of Nevuah. Even in Nevuah, there are 10 expressions used to describe a Nevuah.
Yeah.
There's a Chazoin, there is a Mare, you remember some of the other ones? Masa. There are many different, every Navi was on his level, and every Navi, even on his level, had different types of prophecies. Moshe is what Chazal called the Asplak Maria Hami'ira. He saw it with clarity. It's like watching a movie. It was like a glass pane of glass.
When he saw something, was translated into words by him, or was the part of the
It seems that it depends. In the Chum, in the first four Chumashim, it was directly Hashem put the words in his mouth. He did not. Chumash Devarim, he was given the opportunity to express it in his own words.
So in Yecheskel, when he's describing something,
Yecheskel was not the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, so Lechora, it was his own words.
So that's what it's
so confusing.
He's seeing an image and somebody says, oh, I saw something on the top.
Exactly. And the image that he sees is not a clear image. It's clouded. Yechezkel is not on the level of Moshe. Not even the level of Yeshaya. Yeshaya, they say,
so
was almost like Moshe.
There's trouble with the language.
Absolutely. It's absolutely. Yeah. And his choice of language, you know, the person's language, you're limited. The person is limited. When you want to describe something, you're limited in your ability to express yourself by your background, by your education. You came in a language. How many words does the average person use? The average person has 700 words? I think the average person uses a vocabulary of 700 words. Something like that. You have to Google this information. 700 words. If you're, you know, people who get the Pulitzer Prize, obviously they're gifted people. Their ability, their koyach of using language to express an idea is a gift. So, I mean, Yechezkel is a Navi, obviously he's very well gifted, but there's still a limitation, being that he's a human being, and expressing something. Absolutely. Okay, next word, so Rashi. So we have over here a very interesting of what the windows look like. The windows, doesn't say. Another interesting thing, were the windows round or square? Besides the dimensions, small, narrow, another mystery.
Just interesting, because I was in castles in Europe and none of them had glass. The medieval castle. So I can't see the 2,000 years ago they had glass.
It depends, I guess, on the climate. I guess it depends on the climate. Depends on the... Also, you have to remember, the walls are so thick. So you just put a piece of paper on the wall.
That's why they have tapestries.
Oh, right. So today we live... Today everything is so thin. The old window was open. The wind comes in, it destroys you. You have to go when you have very thick glass. There, but if the wall is this
Someone
thick.
Someone just told me in Florida there's such a thing as hurricane category 5 glass.
I understand.
It's able to withstand
hard.
Yeah, they blew out in the last
only shilas can the walls withstand. maybe the windows can withstand, because the walls that are holding up the windows, can they withstand the winds? Okay, you live in the hurricane zone, you have to, that's what they do. I mean, like you told me, in Florida, all the mezuzahs are inside. Like it's also a whole, when you're living in a certain environment, the whole form of construction is completely, it's totally different. I'll tell you, apparently with earthquakes, they build buildings on springs, shock absorbers, in Japan. I mean, it's a standard. It's a standard thing. This is during the way you do construction. It's all a reaction.
Certain government locations.
Government locations.
In other words, where they would move the president if there was an attack.
There.
It's built on springs and everything. Can supposedly can withstand everything.
Yeah, that's in. Well, in Japan, all the furniture is bolted to the ground. That's the law.
The furniture is bolted to the ground. Wow.
So that it shouldn't fall on people during.
Makes sense. In Japan.
Japan.
Okay, the buildings are meant even to sway.
Yeah.
Even the World Trade Center, Olam HaShalom, it was meant to sway. And buildings now, that's how they build.
A lot of, built on a way of being able to shift.
Ball bearings.
City,
built
a city court building has a counterweight. The triangle of the tap is a very heavy weight. To counter the swaying.
Okay, let's finish up this pasuk. The El Elei Hema. Lipnima Lashar. So we learned in the picture. The picture shows us this means on the sides. The word Elohim means the sides, and these windows opened into the open area of the entranceway. Rashi, the El Kisvois Pischehem, the sides of the entranceways. There's a Pesach in the center, and the windows flank the Pesach. El Shel Shnei To'im Hasmuchim L'Shar, reference to the two different chambers, the left and the right. Umizel Mizeshoi Pischon El Toich Avir Hashar. Pesach HaTo'ah HaTzvoini Umitzofoin L'Shar, the Pesach of the Toh on the north side, Mitzofoin L'Shar, on the north side of the entranceway, that's the right side. UPesach HaTo'ah HaDromi on the left side, Midorim L'Shar. The kisvos hapsachim and the two sides of each entranceway shemizel mizel lepesach hatoh heim ha'elim, and the two sides of the entranceway are called the post. The post is called an elim. The hayu bohem chalaynois pisuchim. There were windows la'avir for air. Hefsik roichav hashar. According to the air, la'avir
lowers all the way through.
Okay, all the way through la'avir hefsik roichav hashar shoyim mafsik bein hatoim. That was mafsik between the toim.
Oh, that means the space. That's the
between. But also avir kari, that air space, that open area is called lipnima lashar. That area in between the two toim, the area entering into going up the staircase, going before you come to the area, the steps. That open space is what we call here lipnima lashar. When a person enters into the open area between the ta'im, the chamber, nire, it appears shehu nichnas lashar. You're coming up the staircase. You're coming into a place called the shar. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Now the next words of Rashi, v'chein lo e lamos. Likewise, v'chein hayu chalonos lo e lamos shel kol shar v'shar. There were windows. You have to add a word to the pasuk. There were windows for all of the other posts, for every other entranceway throughout the entire structure of the Beis Hamikdash. The chalayna is saviv lepnima. There were also windows on the inside. Bachayma letzad hoazora mibifnim. Then the last part of the pasuk describes something entirely different. It teaches about the palm tree. The LL, and on top of the palm tree was the Timarim, Tirgim Yonason, Kois Rasa, a crown.
Like a non sequitur,
yeah. Nothing to do with the meaning of the Pasik. This Kois Rasa, which means a crown, Kois Sarois, Beroish Ha'ail, the top of the post, Hoya also Kimin Kois Saros, a crown, Doime Ledeka, look like a palm tree, Ki Bimashkina, Dishloima. In the Bayis Rishon, in the Mishkan of Shlomo HaMelech, the Bayis Rishon, Hein Mitugamois Suras Diklin. They're also palm trees. And this, I guess, refers to the gold palm trees that were posted, that were right in front of the in the Ulam. There, what's that word? Here in French, Suras. In the last words. Suras Diklin.
It's not the shapes of pommels or crowns.
pommels, balas. Okay, so anyway, Rashi over here is...
Some of these palms, they're called royal palms.
Royal palms.
Because, I guess because they have that crown-like...
I assume Rashi is referring to his main point. He's just indirectly telling us that in Shlomo HaMelech, in the Bayis Rishon, when you go into the Ulam, when you come into the Heichal, so what are you confronted with? These two massive columns. Yochin Ubayas. Two massive columns. Keep on going. When you go further past the massive columns, you come actually into the entrance to the Ulam, and the Gemara says, right in that entrance, there were these two trees.
Yeah,
true magical trees,
right?
Made from gold.
And they did golden fruit.
And they produced golden fruit. And the Kohanim, the young Kohanim, would climb this fruit, they would pull off the gold fruit, and they would sell it. And they'd have Parnassah. That's how they had Parnassa. What does all this mean? We don't know what this means exactly.
Money grows on trees.
Money grows on trees. That these trees were palm trees. So you see, in the Bayis Shlishi, in Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh. Here we are introduced to these massive columns. We learned yesterday a grand total of 12 of these columns throughout the entire structure. 12 columns. And the top of these columns look like palm trees, and Rashi, just Derech Agav, tells us, oh, just like in the Bayis Rishon, we also find palm trees, there were these palm trees, there were the Kolim, that's what it says here on the Pasuk, and he uses the Targum to tell us what it means. So too, oh, look, we have palm trees over here, we have 12 palm trees in the time of the Bayis Shlishi. Okay,
how high were the windows from the ground?
We discussed that. It does not say anywhere. It does not say.
So
Rashi, though, in his second interpretation, quoting Menachem, says that in Sefer Melachim, when it says Shikufos means they were very, very high.
Yeah. So that's what I want to...
But not like the diagram.
Not like diagram does not tell us the height. It just tells us the Shikufos...
Well, the height has to be capped by 12.
I want
to
propose something.
Yeah.
But the diagrams have them lowered. Well, you don't know it.
That there were big candelabras, big tall menorahs that were, let's say, 10 amas high.
Yeah.
That lit up, they were right in front of the windows from inside.
Yeah.
So they lit the Ezra's Dashim and they lit the time at the same time.
All right. So the windows are very, very high. It drew the light in from the Ezra's Nashim into the chambers. Could very well be in a Hanami. Okay, so we're going to stop. Let's just review the pasuk one more time. We're going to stop. Just review the pasuk through Chazal. We only learned today one pasuk. So review the pasuk. Take the diagram. Now we have everything together. Take the diagram. Diagram number one, number two. What does the pasuk say? V'chaloinois. In these chambers, there are windows at two mos. It's one word. In contrast to Sefer Melachim, where there are two words. There it says, Shukufois atumim. Here it's only one word. What does it mean atumos? Mitsudos, it means there were windows that had glass, a regular window with glass closing. They were closed with something like glass. According to Rashi, the word atumos means whatever it says in Sefer Melachim, that's what it means over here. There it means it was wide on one end and narrow on the other end, that's what it means over here. Or it means the windows were very high, that's what it means over here as well. That where were they? El Hato'im. These windows were connected, or they were part of the Ta'im, the chambers. The chambers had windows. Now, where were the windows? Very nice. The chambers had windows. Define for me the location of the windows. That's the next words of the pasuk. The El Eleihema Lepnima Lashar. The windows were found on the posts. The post means the part that flanked the door. Where? On the inside of the shar. What's the inside of the shar? In the area that is 15 amos from left to right, meaning right before you come to the staircase, that's called the Pnima Lashar. As you're coming into the shar, you're entering into the gate, you're walking up into the entranceway, you're in between the chambers and the open area, along the two posts, that's where the windows were to be found. Saviv, saviv, all around,
both sides of the shar.
Both sides of the shar. Saviv, which means both sides of the both sharim, on the left and the right, and around, I guess, and around the tazwah, around. Okay, v'chein lo'ilamos, and then there were also windows where? In the Ulam Hashar, he learns the Rashi saying where? Go up the staircase, enter into the chamber that we called, yesterday we called this the Ulam Hashar, the chamber above. And there you see another two windows. There's a steer in the picture one and number two. Number one, it shows you two windows. And in picture number four, number two, it shows you really four windows. You only see two on one side, two on the other side. And then it says, where else were there windows? There were windows in the back. V'chaloinoi saviv saviv l'panima. And in the back, there were also windows. And where else were there windows? And then it says a new halacha, the El Ayil, on top of these columns on the inside that was 60 amos tall, 10 amos towering above the wall that was only 50 amos, there was what was made in the image of the Ti Moirim, something which looked like a palm tree. Okay, we'll stop here, and tomorrow, Yitzhak Monday, we'll pick up with Yud Zayin.